Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Father, we just thank you for your countenance upon us, for watching over us, for seeing us, for knowing the smallest detail of our lives. And we just thank you. We bless you. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. Hallelujah. And Father, even though we may not see your face to face, we feel your presence on the inside. And you're beautiful. And we just bless you. We thank you. We love you today. This is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody say, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's good to see everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Thank the Lord for the rain and the sun. Amen. I like the sun better, but we need the rain. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is it just me or is it hot? Okay. We already told the man in charge, so. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to say thanks again to everybody for my birthday cards and gifts and words of endearment that you write to me and wishing me a happy birthday. Thank you so much. Mwah. I'll show you my gift at the end. Amen. Praise. Did you make that, Minister Kim? Or you just ordered it?
It was a combination.
Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, y'all ready to get into the Word of God? Amen. It is, okay, I see the clock. All right. I'm going to work on something today. Amen. All right, you ready? All right. You can lift up your Bible, iPads, cell phones, whatever you got. Amen. It's still good to have a physical Bible. Amen. You learn better. You get more revelation when you can touch it. And make markings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway. All right. Say, this is the Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Say, it will lift me up out of darkness into the light. Out of sickness into health, out of poverty, into wealth. Whatever's in darkness, it lifts me up. Say, this day, after hearing and receiving the ever-living, the everlasting Word of God, I will never be the same again. Never, 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 never. Never, ever, ever, ever will I be the same again. In Jesus' name. Now say this. Say, just one word from God can change my life. Amen. How many of you need some things changed in your life? Amen. Praise God. You know, I'd like to call myself a cheerleader. So when I get up here, I just want to encourage you. You know, as a pastor, I'm human. I'm female. But I learned a long time ago that if I'm going through something, everybody is, right? Because we're all human. We all have flesh, right? We never arrive to a place where we don't need God, amen? And where we don't need the word of encouragement, where we don't need the Holy Spirit to help us. And so today I just wanted to share some scriptures about upgrading your identity. Upgrading your identity. And upgrading, it means to take something to increase or to improve. Now, of course, we all know that we are to identify with Christ. Isn't that right? So I'm encouraging you today because, like I said, we have to work with people. We live with people, you know, that who are always trying to take us back into the past, always trying to pull us down, trying to remind us of what was and who we were. And, you know, and so we always have to stay, we always have to encourage ourselves in the Word to reconnect, to stay connected to the identity of Christ, because he's the one that we're supposed to identify with. Amen? And we cannot do that. You know, we were singing a song about Lord, transform. I can't remember all the words. Transform my mind and all that. But God's not going to do it. He can't do it without the Word. Amen? Let's look at Joshua 1:8. I only gave him about four scriptures. The rest of them I'm going to have to mow my own. Amen? Joshua 1:8. Let's look at that. All right, stay awake on me. This book, somebody, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. God's talking to Joshua. Moses had died. Moses was a great leader, and he was encouraging Joshua because Joshua was going to go through some stuff. He had to lead God's people just like Moses did. Only Joshua was going to lead them into the promised land. That's what his assignment was. But you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. That word observe, it means to see. So I want to say this. Any time that we spend time in the Word of God is never a waste. It's never a waste. And as a matter of fact, we need to spend more time in the Word, because the more time we spend in the Word, look, I know I'm talking to somebody, because we get busy or we think we know enough scriptures, you know, or we can handle such and such, but we need to stay up in the Word, stay built up in the Word. Tell somebody, you need the Word. And so we need to read the Word on our own. You know, I have to study the Word to for the Lord to give me messages, but I need to be in the Word for myself, right? When I'm studying a message, I'm usually thinking about y'all. But when I'm in the Word for myself, I'm thinking about myself. Or the Holy Spirit speaks to me for myself. Not that he can't while I'm studying for a message. But no time in the Word is wasted. And the more, the better. The more time we spend in the Word, I know y'all know this, the more time we spend in the Word, the more we can identify with Jesus Christ. Amen? Somebody say, Jesus is a winner. Jesus conquered all. So when we identify with him, that gives us the ability, the mindset, that we can be conquerors as well. Amen? He did the hard part, and we have to live by faith. Amen? And live by faith in what he says in his Word. So God told Joshua, he said, to meditate in the Word of God day and night. That might sound like a lot to us, but that's what was necessary. That dude had an assignment in his life. Y'all think I'm talking about Joshua. You have an assignment. I have an assignment. Tell somebody, don't even think you're finished. We're not finished. So we have an assignment from God, just like Joshua did. But what God told Joshua he was going to have to do was to meditate in his Word day and night so that he could see to do. And he told him, he said, and that, let's keep reading. And he said, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Talking about the Word of God. For then, somebody say, for then. Who? You will make whose way? You will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. Anybody in here want good success? Amen. Amen. So that requires that we rely on the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God. You know, 1 Corinthians 1:20, it says that the promises of God are yes and amen. But most of us could admit, probably all of us could admit, that there are promises in our lives that have not yet come to pass. Is that right? We still waiting for a yes and amen, right? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." But how many of you know that there's a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of blessings that we have not seen in our lives, right? So, and the reason why, y'all want to know the reason why? Is because we don't believe it. We haven't been using our faith. You know, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, it says that God has given to every man, that includes all of us, nobody was excluded, that God has given to every man the measure of what? The measure of faith. But we have to connect our faith to the Word of God. You know, faith, it requires us being fully persuaded, not half persuaded, not a little bit persuaded, but we have to get to a place where we are fully persuaded. The reason why we don't see the plan of God, the reason why we need to upgrade our identity, amen, is because we have to get to a point. We have to, see, God works with images. So that's what I'm talking about today. We have to change. We have to identify with Christ. Read all the scriptures in particular. Meditate on them about what it says that we can do, what it said, the Word of God says that we are in Christ and what we're called to do, right? We have to read those things until we are fully persuaded. And it's not until we're fully persuaded that those things begin to happen. Amen? So you and I, we fall short of identifying with Christ. Amen? We know that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's put that up there if I gave that to them. I may not have. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." Doesn't it say that? Y'all know that says that. Says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Look at your husband and your wife and say, "Yeah, you're a new creation." Just in case y'all had some disagreements this morning. But as believers, we all have been made new creatures in Christ. But we're not going to act like it, right? We're not going to act like it until we get fully persuaded on the Word of God. We have to see ourselves as what the Bible tells us we are. We have to be convinced that what God says that we can do, we can do. We have to be convinced, even though we got to get past, we have to get past these bodies, right? So that we can see who we are in Christ according to the Word of God. Y'all hearing me? Because we are flesh people, and the devil will get us every time. There's so many things that we get stuck on. We get stuck in the past. We get stuck in trauma. We act like regular people who don't know God, who don't know that we've been forgiven. We act like we haven't been forgiven, so then we don't forgive other people, right? But all those things, they hold us back from operating in the power and the love of God. And so the enemy, he's just so natural. And that's why we have to be supernatural. We have to be spiritual, right? We have to be spiritual. Nobody comes here to just listen to me or to listen to a preacher. Not just. You do it, but it's not to just listen to me. It's for all of us to go back home and to go over what was said, go over the scriptures, think about it. Like God told Joshua, he said, if you want to have good success, you're going to have to meditate on my word day and night. Let me go back to image. So when we read the word of God, we have to meditate on the word until that the word becomes the image on the inside. If you want to be healed, but on the inside, you're still sick, unless you become fully persuaded that God wants you healed, you're going to stay the way you are according to the image that's on the inside of you. When God spoke, when he spoke and he said, let there be light, he spoke what he wanted to see. Remember, I think the last time I was up here, I talked about how we have to double down on our confessions, right? And our declarations. So God spoke, you and I, we're supposed to get to a place where we're fully persuaded. Now we can decree and declare, but we have to get to a place where we are fully persuaded on the inside. And then when those words come out of our spirit, like we can see the thing. You gotta, what messes us up is we gotta see before we see. If we don't see by the Spirit before we see in the physical, we'll never see it. Because we'll always be, somebody can always convince us otherwise. The doctor's report, right? The doctor tells you you're going to die. We had two testimonies last week. The doctor tells you you're going to die, but the word of God says you're going to live. The symptoms, the pain tells us that we're the sick, right? But really, in actuality, because Jesus already did everything, we're the healed, and the devil's trying to make us sick. And so he attacks us with genes or whatever. And so he attacks our body. But if even when he attacks our body, we have to be at a place where we are fully convinced, and the image that we already see on the inside is the healed us. Right? The getting to a place where sickness and disease, they bounce off of us. Amen. Because it can't overcome the picture that's on the inside of us. So what we have to do as the people of God, we have to remember that we have to keep meditating on the word of God, keep trusting God until we see that thing on the inside, until we are fully persuaded. Somebody say, I got to be fully persuaded. Anything that I've ever seen from the word, it came because I was fully persuaded. Right? But we have an enemy. You know, we'll look at Mark chapter 4, the story of the seed, the word sown. So the word gets sown into our hearts. The star of the parable is the word, but it talks about the heart and the conditions of our heart. But there are things that come in, I think it's five things that come in when the word of God is sown into our hearts. The devil doesn't want you, tell somebody next, you said the devil is afraid of you finding out who you really are. Tell them you're supposed to put a hurting on the devil. We're supposed to do damage to the kingdom of God instead of him doing damage to us. And so we have to be fully persuaded that we already win because Jesus did it for us. Amen? And we're supposed to walk in his victory. So therefore, we have to, again, get past feelings, get past emotions, because that gets us every time. You know, recently, I had the opportunity to get offended. you know, when people do you wrong, anybody ever do you wrong? Anybody ever do you wrong just last week? When people do you wrong, you have to forgive them. Because, see, if that becomes a pattern in your life, now I'm talking about offense right now, when the enemy will use people to hurt you, right? And it's up to us. We cannot continue to take the bait. Now, when this happened to me, I had an opportunity to be offended. And it took me, I admit, it took me 2 or 3 days. You know, I kept rehashing what happened, right? And until I realized what happened. But the number one thing that we need to understand, when people offend us and do us wrong, it's always, always to get you off track. To always get you off track. The scripture says that we need to stay out of offense and stay before a root of bitterness comes up and defiles many. So I took it personal. I'm like, oh, no, no. The enemy's trying to make me get offended so that I can be messed up and not coming from a good place. And it's going to affect y'all. Right? So, you know, so when things happen in the natural, we have to back up and say, okay, what is happening spiritually here? Always. Because the enemy doesn't want you to get past that phase of your life. So we should get to a point, as believers, we should get to a point where it gets harder and harder to offend us. Not easier and easier. Tell somebody, don't fall for it. And then I also realized that Romans, it says, God said, I wrote that down. And I'm just sharing this because this is what will hold us back. Anybody ever, don't raise your hand, anybody still in offense from something? You still hold unforgiveness against somebody. And just think about it. It'll make you sick. It'll make you poor. It'll make you not successful. Why? Because we're going to have to pass the test. We have to pass that. Tell somebody, you're going to have to pass the test of offense. Say, don't fall for it. Don't fall for offense. Romans 12:19, it says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather, I can't read my own writing. What's that say? But rather grow in something. Oh, give place to wrath. Give place meaning don't take it. Don't fall for it. So, and then it says, then the Lord said, vengeance is mine. Let me talk to somebody who's offended right now at somebody. Somebody hurt you. Somebody betrayed you. Or anything of the kind. Look, God is going to take care of that. But he requires that we let them go. When somebody does us wrong, they're not off the hook if we forgive them. We're off the hook. And when we're off the hook, and walking in love and releasing that person, then we can begin to prosper. We can begin to do well. Do y'all hear me? Because this is like everywhere. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody's been offended. Everybody's been treated wrong. And we know, God knows that. But we all have to get to a place where we have to get past that. We have to get past it. Because otherwise, we're going to live a life of constant offense. and then wonder why we're not making any progress. Why do I keep getting attacked? Why do I keep losing my job? Why do I keep getting sick? Thing after thing after thing. It's because we won't come out of the past. We won't release people from our judgment so that the love of God, again, we sang that song, Lord, transform me, come for me. But we have to do what's required. And then he does the supernatural transforming part, but we have to get the word of God in our minds, right? To renew our minds so that we can change that image that's on the inside. If you have the image of, still have an image of poverty, growing up in poverty, if you don't get rid of that image, if you don't realize who you are in Christ, if you're born again, you're in Christ. Look, if you believe the word to get born again, then you got to believe the word that you're in Christ. You have to believe whatever God says, because the first thing we believed to get into the kingdom was true. Is that right? Did God lie when we got born again? No. God isn't lying about anything else either. So if he says that he loves us just like he loves his son, right? He proved it. He died for us. Then we have to believe it. No matter how ugly and terrible we think we are. But if it's under the blood, it's under the blood. And now we get credit, if I can say that, for the new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. What's the next part? Behold, you got to look. You got to observe. You got to pay attention. All things are become new. And all things are of God. Tell somebody, say, give yourself some credit. So we have to forgive people. You thought I forgot about that, right? We all have opportunity. But when you see that it's a hook, line, and sinker from the enemy, because it's so easy to do, people, half the time, people don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know they're offending you. Some people they know very well. And they did it on purpose and for a purpose. But either way, we have to forgive them so that we can heal, so that we can progress, so that we can live and experience the promises of God. But we have to change the image of ourselves on the inside, and that requires the word of God. Amen? Now I know I'm talking to somebody, because if I just had the opportunity to be offended, I know you have. And if I've lived life and people have hurt me, betrayed me, and done me wrong, I know the same thing has happened to you. But my purpose is to come out of it. But like I said, when people do wrong, because Galatians 6:9 says, oh, you're going to reap what you sow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We release them, but it's a law. So whatever they did to you, and if they keep doing it, and if they don't deal with themselves, they're going to reap a harvest. And the last thing we want to do is to reap a harvest of sickness and poverty and depression and torment because we decided, no, I'm going to punish that person in my heart. I'm going to talk bad about them. I'm going to call my friends and my family and talk about them like a dog. I'm going to talk about them when I lie down to sleep. I'm going to talk about them when I wake up in the morning. I'm going to talk about them because of what they did to me. We can't do that. We're past that. We should be past that. We're forgiven, so we have to forgive. And so just like me, if I get offended, if I let somebody get offended and a root takes place in me, I'm going to spill that out onto y'all in one way or another, whether it's from up here or in the lobby or on a phone call. I don't want any bitterness springing up out of me and spilling onto you. The same thing for you. You don't want any unforgiveness in your heart springing up out of you and messing with your kids, messing with your spouse. It affects your boss because we just a bitter pity party going somewhere to happen, right? And then we can't, God requires that we forgive. But he wants us to be winners. He wants us to be successful, just like Joshua. So God told Joshua, he said, you need to meditate. He was basically saying, we could say it this way, son, I got some work for you to do. I have an assignment for you to do. I need you to be my leader. He told him to be strong and very courageous. Now, we might not have to lead all those people, but we all have to be strong and courageous. Amen? And he repeated it. He said, but be thou strong and very courageous. Why? Because God will fight for us. When we stand on the word of God, when we stand on the promises of God and forget about our feelings, God is going to provide for us. He's going to cause us to win because we did what we were supposed to do. And then he does what he's supposed to do. But we can't do anything without faith. Y'all understand what I'm saying about the image on the inside? You have to, if you're sick, you have to read and meditate on scriptures about healing. If you're broke all the time, you need to read the word of God regarding prosperity and see what God thinks about money. But we have to upgrade our identity. We need to know who we are in order to walk in who we are. And if we don't know who we are in Christ, if we still identify with our broke relatives or our sick friends, if we keep identifying with them, I don't care who it passed down from. It's not yours. So inherited sicknesses, they're no stronger than something that you never heard of. But we have to get the image on the inside that we are the healed. The Bible says that Jesus took the stripes for us. And with his stripes, we were healed. It was done. It was a done deal. Even before he got to the cross, he healed people before he went to the cross. Isn't that right? Because of his love, because he loves people. So he wants us to see. He wants to see us walking in wholeness, but we have to be fully convinced. We have to meditate on the word of God, trust the word of God until we're fully persuaded. I've shared with you many times, you know, I've experienced having children when I was barren. I've experienced us as a ministry getting out of debt. Amen. I've experienced being healed myself, and it's all a result of being fully convinced, where you stop looking for excuses to not be healed. You stop looking. You stop the blame game. How many of you know somebody, there's always a reason. You say something to them, you speak the word of God to them, and they always have a but. That's not, if you have buts, if you have buts all the time, you are not fully persuaded. You know when you're fully persuaded. You know when you have the right image on the inside. Because once you get on the inside, you're going to see that thing. But as long as we're saying, no. You need to meditate on the word some more. You need the scriptures some more. Right? And then when you get fully persuaded, if it's the will of God and you know you got it before you see it, you're going to get it. I think I've shared with y'all before, Kenneth Hagin Sr., he used to say, if you're believing God for something, a promise, the promises of God are yes and amen. How come we're not seeing them, right? But he used to say, when you know when you have faith, when you have received that thing, right, and then you're willing, you're not putting a time clock on it because it's yours now. Oh, God, if you heal me by September, you know, or do such and such before at a certain date. No, you're not fully persuaded. You're putting a date on it, right? But faith requires that you take that thing right now. I need my rent next week, but you got to take it by faith. That's what faith does. It takes it, and once you take something, it's yours. Whether you've seen it, if you take your healing, before you see it in your body, you have taken your healing. And that's how you know that it's yours. You cannot be moved. Amen? Praise the Lord. My mouth is dry. Hallelujah. So, all right, I didn't give that to them. Maybe I'll read it myself. But we have to identify with Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about, in order for us to be fully persuaded, we're going to have to mix the word of God with our faith. God gave every man the measure of faith so that we could use our faith and mix it with the word to make what we're believing God for come to pass. Hebrews chapter 4, I think it is talking about the children of Israel. God said that he gave them the promise. He spoke his plans to them. But it says they never saw the promise because they didn't mix their faith with the word. Somebody say, I got to mix my faith with the word. Amen? We have to mix our faith. That's why we got faith. That's why God gave us faith. And he gave us the word. He gave us all the right ingredients. But we have to put them together. Because our faith activates the word of God. The word of God is going to work, y'all. The word of God is going to work. That's the way God created the earth. Right? By the word. The same thing happens for us. So he's given us the belief system to attach it to his word so that the word can come to pass in our lives. Amen? Amen. And so all these things, so I'm talking about this because all these things, all these sneaky things, all these lifestyles, our mindsets, all these things keep us from walking in the fullness of God's word. His word is so powerful. And it causes miraculous things to happen. Y'all know that, right? Y'all hear me say once in a while, the Bible is not a fairy tale. Right? It's an account. Dr. Miles used to say it this way. He said, the Bible is a book, a story, a book written by a king and about the kingdom and the citizens. So we live according to the kingdom of God. And this is our book. Amen? So God has provided so many things for us. Amen? Let me read some scriptures for you. So we have to be fully convinced. Say, I have to be fully convinced of the word of God. Amen? And we have to meditate on the word. So what we need to do, if you're weak in a certain area, you have to target that area in the scriptures. Because there's so many scriptures, you know, when I go to pray about a message, I'm like, God, there's so much in here. It's like, where do I begin? So I have to pray and ask God, Lord, what do your people need to hear? And I know we always need to hear that we are who God says we are. And we need to forget about who we think we are. So us attaching ourselves to the word of God and identifying with Christ, we have to realize that it's not just about our self-image. It's not self-image growth. It's about making the image that's in us match the word. So we don't make up our own image. We find out what image God gave us and then identify with that. Do y'all understand that? So we don't come up with our image and identify with Christ from a self-help book. A self-help book might help you in some areas, but it's not going to give you the image that God gives you in the Word. You know, I'd said that I was going to do a little bit of teaching on being kings and priests, and that the Scripture says that we're to reign in life as kings. So God made us kings that rule. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up ruling nobody. I didn't have any authority, right? I didn't have any money, and of course, I wasn't born again. But ruling and reigning wasn't something that I was used to. And I know that's not y'all's testimony either, right? But we have to find out, we have to know that we're called to be kings, we're called to rule and to reign and not to settle for what is dished out to us. Amen? So, again, no more blame game. We can't blame people. Well, I don't have this because, my mom, she, or my dad, y'all remember. Or because my boss fired me. Or, I was in an accident. All that is excuses to keep us from believing the Word of God. We have to believe the Word of God to deliver us. Amen? There's more to salvation than getting saved. That's all I can say. Getting saved was just the beginning, doggone it. It's just the beginning. We have so far to go. There's so much more we have to believe. There's so much more about Christ and the kingdom that we have to identify with. We are co-seated with Christ. And yes, we are co-laborers with God. Why are we? God needs us to walk in this so that we can be co-laborers with him. We're talking about grace. You know, I was going to say that the enemy was, I'm kind of changing a little bit, but I just wanted to say this. If I had got caught up in offense, I'm believing God for some things this year. If I get caught up in offense, if you get caught up in offense and bitterness, there's no single or double grace coming on you. The grace we want first is the grace to forgive and to walk in forgiveness. Do y'all get that? When somebody does something to you, you have to let it go and let God's laws and principles take care of them. You don't take care of them. It's not up to us to punish people or get back at people. No. The Lord said, don't take vengeance on people. So, that just frees me. You know, that's God's business, not mine. My business is to stay clean, to keep my heart clean, so I can still hear God, so I'm not walking around in circles in life because I'm holding something against somebody from my past, and I keep walking around the same situation. Nothing ever changes because I'm still back here. You know, there's a story, I probably shared this before, and then I'll end here. There's a story about, in Mark chapter 5, there was a man who had legions. He had a legion of demons, okay? He had a legion, the man was mad. He was insane. But it said he was walking, he lived amongst the tombs. Do you know what that signifies if you study that out? He was living, he was dwelling among the tombs, it said. He was dwelling in his past. And he dwelled in his past, in his hurts, for so long that the man got a legion. Well, how many is a legion? 1,000? A lot. Well, we don't want one demon. But he was living amongst the tombs. The man was a madman. And when you study that out, tombs, it means a monument. So what we do is we don't forgive people, and then we build a monument. And we look at that monument often, not so often, but we build that thing. And now we're worshiping our past. We're stuck in the past. Come out! We need to come out of our past. We need to come out. We need to be fully persuaded that we're new creatures in Christ, that we're seated with Jesus Christ in heavenly places, that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, that we've been given sufficient faith to fulfill the plan that God has for us. But we're letting things hold us back. Not God. We want to blame everything on God. Blame it on people when they die. Well, why didn't God save them? Well, why didn't they take care of themselves? They killed themselves. God didn't kill them. You know what I'm saying? So we blame things on God. God is a beautiful God. He's a merciful God. He's a good God. He said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, that's why I've drawn you to myself. But we still think God is daddy. Or we still think God is that uncle. Or that mother, or a friend, somebody who did something wrong to us. It was a perverted relationship. We can't blame God for the bad that people do. And besides, we're still here. We're still here. There's still hope for us. We can still heal. We can still recover. We can still have prosperity. We can still walk in success. We can still have joy. We can still have peace. Our past shouldn't stop us from walking in what God has for us today. This is a new day. Today is a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And then he tells us what to do, to rejoice. Rejoicing don't have nothing to do with what happened. What happened doesn't have anything to do with God and his character and his nature and his love and his plan. Jeremiah 29:11, God said, I know the plans for you, says the Lord. So as believers, we don't have to wander around all hopeless and don't know where we're going. No, God has a plan. But we have to cooperate with him. We have to identify with his son. We have to identify being a son of God and an heir of God. We have to rely on the word of God. We've been given so much. And the enemy just attacks us in our emotions. Right? How many times have you been believing God for something and something happened that affected your emotions negatively? That's not the time to back off. You keep believing. Tell somebody, keep believing. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. Keep on and keep on and keep on until you're fully persuaded that what God has said is going to come to pass. But we got to be cool. Can't be all anxious. Can't be all hyper. Just trust God. He's going to take care of us. Amen? God's got good plans for us. Great plans. But we're going to have to take care of some things. First things first. Amen? So come out of your feelings in Jesus' name. Amen? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to let go of my hurt feelings, my hurt past, and I'm going to look towards you and towards your word and towards your promises, and all your promises are yes and amen. And every day we need to be asking God for the grace that we need for today. We get in trouble when we think too far, don't we? We thinking about worries and the day didn't even get here yet. Right? But we have opportunity every day to believe God so that we don't have to see that result that we're thinking about and worrying about. Amen? God, He's taking care of us. He wants to take care of us. Amen? But we got to let Him. He's not going to force, He's not going to even force blessings on us. They're already there. You know, how many times have we thought that God's just going to automatically do something because we're so sweet? Or like He's automatically going to do something because, well, He sees me hurting. Yeah, but what are we saying? What are we doing? What are we blaming? What are we standing on? What are we praying? Are we saying we can't agree with our situation? We have to agree, always agree with the Word. We can't agree with our situation. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, with whatever bad, whatever negative is happening in my life right now and has been happening, I come out of agreement with it. I come out of agreement with it right now in Jesus' name. I come out of rejection. I don't agree with it. I no longer agree that I'm rejected. Say, I don't agree with poverty. I don't agree with sickness. I come out of agreement with it. Lord, forgive all my negative words that I've spoken over my life. Was that that much? And I agree with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I wish we could all just pull back, just open up our chest and see who we are on the inside, to see who we've been created in Christ Jesus. Amen. But we're going to have to do it by faith. This is what we rely on, period. And this is what we have to learn to believe in. It's not, y'all know, I know, you know, we're all different levels here, and I know you know better, but this is the Word of God. And God said, my Word, it's going to accomplish what I send it out to do. And when we operate in faith, when we trust God and speak the Word in faith because we're fully persuaded, because we got a full picture on the inside of us, not a half picture, right, then we're going to see the Word, God's Word that we speak, that we confess, come to pass in our lives. We just gotta go through, you know, some growing, right? If we're tired of being offended all the time, we need to get to a place where we don't want to be offended. Like, I'm, you know, you can say, I'm just tired of being offended all the time. Because that is no fun. That's horrible. That's a horrible life. Amen. So we want to walk in forgiveness, walk in love, walk in power. Amen. Walk in authority and do what God has called us to do. Amen. So we're going to have to elevate our identity and identify more with Christ. Right? And stop identifying with our past. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to give an invitation. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want to make sure that you do that today. We who are born again, we are in the family of God, and we know that God has great things prepared for those who love Him. And we would love for you, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, for you to become a part of the family of God so that you can begin to see the great things that God has for you. Amen? So if that's you, you've never been born again, you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that I'm a sinner. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins. Say, Lord Jesus, I also believe that you died on the cross, shed your blood for my sins, and served my sentence in hell. I also believe that God the Father raised you from the dead, Jesus, to live forever so that I can get born again and live forever with you. So, Lord Jesus, right now, I confess you with my mouth as my Lord. I receive you as Lord of my life. I receive forgiveness of sins. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior, be my Master. Say, devil, you can no longer fool me, trick me, harass me, because today I have a new Lord, and his name is Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, I am born again, a child of God. Hallelujah. Called to all his promises. If any of you prayed that prayer for the very first time, we won't ask you to say anything, but if that was you, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, can you just raise your hand so we can get happy with you? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I pray that no one here, that everyone here is born again. Please don't walk out. You're here on purpose. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're here to save your life. So please do not leave this place without being born again. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's give the Lord a hand again. Praise God. All right. Let's welcome up Elder Josh. Elder Joshua.
Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. How many, raise your hand, God has been good to you. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, Paul is gathering up money for Christians in Jerusalem, wants to bless those Christians there in Jerusalem. And he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, will abound in every good work. That is awesome, right? God wants to continually use us to be a blessing. God is good. I mean, raise your hand again if God has been good to you. I mean, he is so good. So, you know, be given with a grateful heart, a cheerful heart, increasing the kingdom of God in this earth. It's awesome. So, and at this time, we're going to have the video show you in ways in which you can give.
Here at Living Faith, we have made giving easy by using electronic options as much as possible. You can text to give by texting LFCCNJ to 77977. You can give once or set up as a recurring gift. Just enter in your details, confirm your gift, and you're done. You can give through our LFCCNJ church app. This method will look similar to text to give. The iOS version of the app can be downloaded at the App Store, or you can get the Android version on Google Play. You can also give online at lfccnj.com/giving. If these options are not possible, you can obtain a pink envelope and deposit it as you leave. We thank you again for joining us today. God bless you.
Hallelujah. You guys can stand to your feet. Praise Him, praise Him. God is good. Hallelujah. All right, if you could focus your attention to the monitors, we'll read. We decree that because we are tithers, we receive the promise of Scripture that protects those who tithe and give offerings. As a household, we are committed to tithe and give into the Lord's work. Therefore, we claim tithers' rights. That means no devourer, destroyer, waster, plunderer, or pillager can rob from us in Jesus' name. They cannot steal our blessing or fruitful harvest. They cannot steal from our home, businesses, or from any of our loved ones. The destroyer can't strip away our heritage or harm our children. We stand in the tither's blessing, which promises that the Lord will rebuke the evil one on our behalf. We stand in the tither's blessing that the Lord will open heaven's treasure and pour out blessings we do not have room enough to receive. We stand confident that the tithe is raising a standard against every demonic plot and attack. We have faith that as Jesus, our Lord and eternal High Priest, stands in heaven receiving our tithe, we are under the covenant of His blessing. We prophesy that the promise to the tither rests upon our families in Jesus' name, according to Malachi 3:11, Hebrews 7:8. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You so much for blessing us, Lord God. We thank You for the clothes. We thank You for our shoes. Thank You for we're able to eat, Lord. We pray, Lord God, we would be a blessing to other people. We pray this house would continually grow. Lord, we pray as we have sown into this house, Lord God, that we can continually sow in this house, that many people will be saved. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's welcome up Elder Clarence for some hot topics.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that awesome message today. Once again, amen. Glory to God. If we can, video announcements.
Fellas, need a break from the noise? We're flipping the script and bringing the sports bar vibe to church. Game day eats, football trivia, real talk that hits harder than a linebacker. On Saturday, June 28th, from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., our guest speakers will be Minister Michael Chavis, bringing powerful and real encouragement, and former NFL linebacker and faith-driven speaker Gary Cobb. Whether you're here for the word or just the wings, come kick it with us. Wear your team jersey, bring your crew, and get spiritually fueled up. Register by Wednesday, June 25th at lfccnj.com or just scan the code. You're more than a conqueror. Let's build men who win, on and off the field.
Amen, amen. Just have a couple of verbal announcements here. In addition to the concert in July, make plans to join us on Friday, August 22nd, as we step out in style for the black tie and red carpet banquet. And this will be a night of elegance, entertainment, laughter, and celebration. Please keep your eyes and ears open for the start date and tickets for this event. And additionally, we are encouraging everyone to pick up a flyer for the concert and distribute it to your family, friends, post it on your social media in your communities. And the flyers are going to be located in the bulletin boards in the sanctuary foyer area. And attention, that final announcement, attention young adults ages 18 to 30, the Epic Ministry will be meeting today directly following the services in Salon 4, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Amen. At this time, let's welcome back Pastor for final thoughts.
Thanks. Praise the Lord. My final thoughts are, number one, is there won't be a bar at the men's thing. They'll be kicking it, but they're not going to be, no bar. Per se, all right? So let's get that straight. All right, my thing is not working today. So y'all can kick it, but ain't nobody drinking. All right, I'm gonna show you my bouquet. Wait a minute, no wonder I didn't take it out. It won't come out. Sorry. I didn't spend the money just so y'all could see it. Oh my goodness. Something fell out. Okay, I should have practiced this, huh? Is it tied to the bottom? Okay. Then it's just me. Oh man, what in the world is holding this thing? Oh, the light thing. Okay. There's little twinkle lights on it. So it's a flower arrangement. Y'all didn't see it last week. And so that's what y'all gave me corporately as for my birthday. Yep, anyway, all right. Okay, all right, do we have any first-time attenders? Any first-time attenders today? We won't embarrass you. We just want to see you, so if you're staying, we just want to welcome you. Any first-time attenders today? Praise God. Hey! Thanks for coming. Thank you. Amen. We just want to say welcome to Living Faith. You know where we are, and you're welcome back anytime. I hope you were blessed by the word and the music, and we hope to see you again. All right, let's give him another hand. Praise God. Also, we fed 64 families yesterday. 64 or 67, one or the other. So, yep, so we gave out meals to people yesterday. Thank you to those of you who volunteered. Thank you so much for volunteering for that day. We appreciate it. Amen. I appreciate it. Also, at this time, I want to ask if there's anybody you've been attending Living Faith and you believe that this is your church home. You prayed about it and, you know, you feel comfortable here and you decided to come join us as a local church. Is that anybody today? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Anybody? Praise the Lord. All right. We'll be here next week. Amen. Also, the altar will be open today after church. Our ministers and elders and our prayer people as well. You know, you all might want prayer. You're going through some things, and we want to pray for you. Amen? And see you make some progress. In Jesus' name. Amen? Praise God. God is good, and he works and moves on our behalf when we use our faith. Faith pleases God when we trust him. Amen? Praise God. That's just the way he is. Amen? Praise God. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force anything on us, and so he wants us to come to him. So that's what you can do today at the end of service. All right? Okay, everybody. You can stand to your feet. Yep. I see some of y'all don't want to stand too soon. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think that's it. Can somebody take this? Thank you. Don't take anything. No, just, I know you want. I just definitely just said that. Ingest. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good, y'all. Somebody say, this is going to be a good week in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The more we believe about God, the more we say about God, the more God can move. He's looking for faith. He's looking for somebody who believes him. Amen. Praise the Lord. That makes him happy. That makes him pleased. That pleases God when we believe him. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. Again, God, we thank you for this day that you have made, and you gave us the ability with our mouths, with our words, to rejoice and be glad in it because we're here. We thank you, God, that this day was created for us, and we're here for purpose and on a purpose. God, help us to discover why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing. We thank you for it. God, we thank you that you have an exciting plan for us. Doesn't mean it's not going to come with some bumps and bruises, but what you ultimately have for us is a good plan, and you have a future for us, and we thank you for that. Father, we agree with your word because you're right, you're true, and you know. So we agree with you. You called us blessed. So we declare in Jesus' name that we are blessed, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper, and to be envy now in Jesus' name. Just want to make sure y'all not waiting. Amen. I love you.